podcast you're listening to has been recorded in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. So very often it's been recorded on mobile phone and from people's homes. So we apologise for the odd dog barking or the lawnmower starting up in the background. The sound quality may not be perfect, but hopefully you can still hear the passion of our guests for making a difference to patients, their families, and their communities. Welcome to the second episode of Elevating Into the Future. I'm your host, Tim O'Mara, and I'm GE Healthcare's research leader for Australia and New Zealand. We'd like to introduce this series that you can listen to anywhere you get your podcasts. GE Healthcare has some amazing collaborations, and we want to share these with you. We have around 75 active research projects. We're partners in 17 grants, and all up, we're involved in around $100 million of local research. I have one of those great jobs in medical research, where I've been given the keys to GE Healthcare's global resources, technology, and expertise, and the permission to drive it in Australia and New Zealand with truly remarkable people who are passionate about making a difference to patients, their communities, and our healthcare system. Today, I'm joined by two of those remarkable people from Sydney. My guest host is Renee Lopez-Buckley, who is the Public Health Executive and Head of Molecular Imaging for GE Healthcare in Australia and New Zealand, and a board member of the Sydney Breast Cancer Foundation. And our guest is Associate Professor Sanjay Warrior. Sanjay is a consultant breast oncology and oncoplastic surgeon. He's a council member of the Breast Surgeons of Australia and New Zealand and is the immediate past president. Sanjay is an associate professor of the University of Sydney with the Royal Prince Alfred Academic Institute. Sanjay's based at the Chris O'Brien Lifehouse and is also a visiting medical officer at Breast Screen New South Wales. Thank you both for joining us today. The first thing I'd like to understand is a little bit more about yourselves. So can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and really how and why you've become such strong advocates for breast cancer screening and treatment? I might start with you, Sanjay.
Thanks, Tim, firstly, for having me, and thanks, Renee, for the invite. I'm a breast cancer surgeon, as Tim's mentioned, in Sydney at Chris O'Brien Lifehouse. And the thing that drew me towards doing firstly medicine and then the attraction going towards breast cancer treatments was really the fact that when you look at any family, the woman is the nucleus of a family. And when they're diagnosed with a cancer, it really impacts everybody, whether it's the husband, themselves, the children. It really has a being able to help in this area was something that really I was really attracted to at an early stage when I was studying medicine. And then on top of that, I really felt a requirement to be able to provide the best care, be able to provide potentially improvements in care moving forward. That's been a driver for me essentially over the years. And it's been a reason why I've pushed in many fronts to try and improve the quality of services across the country.
That's fantastic, Sanjay. And let's hear from Renee. Who is the nucleus of a family?
Thanks, Tim. I guess I've had the privilege to be working with Sanjay probably for about 8 years now on the role and vice president for the Sydney Breast Cancer Foundation. And I think when you see friends and family members going through breast cancer and having the opportunity to give back something to the community, it's been a wonderful journey and experience to raise money so that we're supporting Sanjay and the team to look at, you know, the latest equipment, the latest techniques in looking after women when it comes to, you know, to breast surgery and just the care that they provide. It's very easy for me to be passionate and a part of this group, and I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much. And Renee, I'm now going to hand over to you, and I think you're going to delve more deeply into breast cancer screening and treatment with Sanjay. So over to you. I'll sit back for a while.
Thanks, Tim. Sado, what are you seeing from a breast cancer or breast screening perspective? How do you think we're going with women's participation in the New South Wales screening program?
The way I see it is, like, when we look at our breast screening program, it's a program that's set up to address essentially women who are asymptomatic, and it's based on the fact that there's 1 in 8 women that develop breast cancer within their lifetime. We know that this screening program needs to be cost-effective and provide outcomes for patients where you can pick a disease process and basically alter potential outcomes for that. And what we see over time is, through a screening program, that biology of the type of breast cancers we see, we're often picking up cancers earlier. We're picking them up before they become lumps. And with that, it potentially can reduce the type of treatments that we do for breast cancer patients. So with regards to where I see the uptake, so firstly, the program is from 50 every 2 years, and there's an option of actually going to have breast screening from 40 as well, and that's, again, every 2 years. But when it comes to uptake, I think there are barriers there relating to why people may not decide to go ahead with screening. And ideally, you'd want to have those breast screen numbers up at above 80%, ideally at 100%. Some of the reasons why it might not be happening, and the rates are variable depending on postcode, include the fact that, firstly, some people may think that breast cancer, that's a disease that gets a lot of funding, or it's not that bad, and ultimately that may impact why people don't go. A common reason why people don't get screening is they always think that this won't happen to me. And that's not an uncommon across any sort of stream, where we think, okay, we're not going to be the ones to develop a particular disease process. Another thing is actually the fact that, you know, when it comes to breast screening, it's not the most pleasant, potentially the most pleasant way to screen, and I'm sure that would be a deterrent as well. And there are studies out there demonstrating that it's not just about the first screen, it's also about continual screens with time. And if there's pain associated with having a mammogram, that could potentially impact whether or not someone decides to go and have screening. And I'm sure there's also aspects relating to socioeconomics and racial demographics of people as well, in terms of communication and screening.
Are we seeing more women present with breast cancer in their 30s and 40s? I don't know. I feel like at the moment I've got a few friends that in my age group are being diagnosed, and feels to me we're seeing more of it. Or is that just, you know, my perception being a bit too close to home?
Well, when we look at our breast cancers across Australia, there's at least 10% that are less than 40. So it's not a commonest female cancer. It is a serious potential issue, I think. And ultimately, we are doing things well. There's no doubt that having a screening program is cost-effective. But I think being aware that, you know, there is a possibility that people can get a disease process, not just when they hit 40, but beforehand, is something that needs to be targeted at some point. And it's worked. It's always a balance, because the balancing act is between scaring the population and finding the empowerment to be able to give them the information and the processes to be able to know what to do if they find something, and being systematic about it.
I mean, we obviously are very successful with the shower cards that we provide with the foundation to everybody. You know, and Priceline's been fantastic in putting them through all of their stores. Do you think that we need to be doing more at the school level for women, for girls, as an education, since we're seeing that 10% of age groups being affected?
Yeah, I think it's a suggestion that I've had. Like, I do think that, just thinking outside the box a bit, that being able to, obviously it's a time when women's breasts are changing and they're getting used to changes in their life, but ultimately having processes in place where they are able to be empowered and have an idea on just a simple way to assess their breasts, and their Sydney Breast Cancer Foundation shower cards is a fantastic starting point. I think we had a program as well where we're looking at a look at the breasts and lift the breasts up with the other hand and then feel with the other hand. Look, lift, feel was a catch line that we've had. But I think ultimately, whatever the process is, having something that's systematic and more widespread isn't a bad thing for empowering younger ladies. And I'm like you, Renee, obviously, I work in a profession where I'm not just seeing above 40-year-olds diagnosed with breast cancer. We do see 10% of the time and high-volume patients who are in their 30s that are presenting thinking that they shouldn't be getting breast cancer at that age.
Yeah. We've seen some technology, which I'm feeling really excited about, with GE, with the Sonograph Pristina. And there's a study that's been done in Europe around the patient comfort and around the self-compression and seeing some positives around that. What are your thoughts in the perception of, you know, women feeling that it's going to hurt and really apprehensive about going and having breastfeeding? Do you think something like, you know, self-compression technology could make a difference in your mind to the participation rates and, you know, less concern around having a mammogram?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great idea. Like, obviously, I've had a look at the European study. It's a multi-centered study with 160 patients. It is an early study, but what it's demonstrated is there is 79% satisfaction with the Duetal self-compression component of the Pristina Duetal machine. And there was 54% were less anxious when they were able to self-compress. And ultimately, overall, there was an 83% satisfaction as an overall assessment of the use of the mammography. And ultimately, if it is more pleasant for women, that would lead to an increased uptake. And then it's about, firstly, improving that, and then it's then marketing it to the population to go, hey, it's not. This is how we've adapted it to improve what is a difficult thing to do, so it's tolerable. So go ahead and get your screening going so that we are able to pick up things early and therefore react early before things become too big.
So one of my jobs now needs to be making sure we have awareness around this technology, perhaps. With your role in the fellowship program that the SBCF support and your co-chair of Breast Training of Australia, what's one of the key goals that you're driving, what you want to see in the future within the training program?
When it comes to running a program and what we've done with my society over a long period of time, it's really been about putting the patient in the middle, and it's an Australian patient wherever they are, whether it's in Sydney or anywhere in Australia, and ideally they get offered the same approach wherever they are. And obviously there will be barriers such as, you know, geographical barriers for some people, and they'll need choices. Some people may be more pragmatic in how they approach their breast cancer, and that's a personal decision, but having the options available is important, and having the skill sets is important across the country. So it's really been about standardising our training pathways for breast cancer treatment and increasing the knowledge for future breast surgeons. We've been at Chris O'Brien Lifehouse as one of the hospitals associated with our centralised training program across Australia and New Zealand. We've had personal successes. We've trained some fantastic oncoplastic surgeons and who've been really a flagship for the program. We've had one in Nita Bartlett, who is the first oncoplastic surgeon sitting above Brisbane, and she's providing, you know, high quality care to women, high volume women in that part of the country. We had one last year, Ananya Chakrabarty, who's gone to Melbourne, and she's basically now providing that care in Melbourne. And we've had others who've gone to New Zealand as well. So it's been really good to be able to, it's been a very satisfying part of my job hasn't just been treating patients, but has been able to train the next generation of surgeons who are coming through to help women across the country. on top of that, being able to set up a master's with Sydney University has been good as well, because it's been provided outside of the apprenticeship model a standardisation of basically knowledge. So one of the things that we've noted with our breast cancer care is we're starting to use, in patients that require chemotherapy, we're starting to do chemotherapy first a lot more, and that allows us to potentially reduce the type of operation we're doing, gives the woman time to think about what type of operation they're having, and it's just knowing what type of breast cancer and how to approach it, rather than thinking necessarily that the only thing you can have is an operation to start off. That sort of messaging is getting out there, and it's coming through training the people who are seeing the lady at first diagnosis and making sure that they've got the appropriate options available.
Well, thank you.
Amazing work.
Yeah, it does sound truly amazing. Renee, did you have any more questions for Sanjay, or would you like me to bring it together now?
No, the only thing I was thinking, I suppose, is it'd be interesting if any thoughts on the top of your head of, from a research perspective, of where you'd like to be heading. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but, you know, as Tim said, we invest a lot in research and grants, and there's more that we can do. And you and I have talked about it a lot around, you know, Aboriginal population. We've talked about awareness. You know, is there some things that you're passionate about from a research perspective that you'd like to look at?
Yeah, I think there's multiple areas where we could potentially look at improving outcomes and continue to get better outcomes for women and quality of life indicators for women. And things you've mentioned, people who are underprivileged, such as the Indigenous population, is currently something that would be worth, you know, exploring in more detail, definitely. Mm. I think the idea of how do we actually increase messaging relating to breastfeeding again, working with them and looking at the technology that you guys have is actually definitely an important, you know, you think about a problem and you look at novel ways to approach a solution. I think that's something that would be worth exploring. And then on the treatment front, there are ongoing novel things that we're doing with a view of reducing complications and improving outcomes for women. And an example of that has been the SPY technology that we've used for breast reconstruction, which has reduced the necrosis rate from 10% to close to zero with patients who are having mastectomies. And there is a bunch of other things that are happening that are novel with a view of improving outcomes, which then infiltrates through our surgical society.
Thank you, Sanjay, and thank you, Renee. So a couple of things that I heard there, and in my introduction I mentioned the opportunity to work with some truly remarkable people, and I really mean that. One of the things that I constantly hear is the desire of people to support patients, to support their families, but principally to actually give back, which I think, you know, even saying it now, I get goosebumps. I find truly extraordinary. And I think, you know, we've also heard from Sanjay that it's not just about what an individual does. It's about training people so that you can have a greater impact. And it's about building partnerships, such as partnerships with healthcare companies like GE. We're not in the business of making medical equipment. We're in the business of improving patient care. And I think the example that was given about the Synograph Pristina is a good example of how that can make a real difference to women's preparedness to have a breast screen and for that to be a positive experience rather than something that they don't want to do again. Now, I'm just going to wrap this up, but look, it's been a really fascinating discussion, and if people want to learn more about the good work that's going on, then I direct you to some resources. So Sanjay, S-A-N-J-A-Y, Warrior, W-A-R-R-I-E-R. I know Sanjay has a website. The Sydney Breast Cancer Foundation was mentioned, Breast Surgeons of Australia, New Zealand, the Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, Breast Screen New South Wales, and GE Healthcare. There's a range of websites there or Facebook pages that people can go to if they want any more information. The last thing for me to do is to thank both Renee and Sanjay. It's been great for you to be part of this discussion and to elevate the importance of screening and screening particularly in younger women, which seems to be a category that we're currently not addressing so well. So thank you both very much.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Renee. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Having me on it.